All right, let's just pray first. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we can come into your house and receive from you this day. Lord, I just empty myself of myself and ask that you would fill me and that you would anoint me, that you would use me to speak forth your words this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, yes, I'm always over there with the kids, teaching kids. I love kids. That's what I do. And I have four of my own. As a mother, I think we all have one thing in common, and that's simply that we often feel like we don't know what we're doing. And recently, in very recent years with my own kids, my daughters are getting into the teenage years, and I say to them often, I say, you know what? I have no idea how to help you with boyfriends and dating and all this whole scene that you guys go through, but you know, I've been there, I've done it, so I think I know a little bit more than you, so I'm going to come alongside you guys. I said so many parents, they just check out of their kids' lives when they get to this age, and they figure, yeah, you just figure it out yourself. And I said, I'm not going to do that with you. I'm going to come alongside you. I want to do this with you. Like, seriously, I don't know what I'm doing, but let's do it together. And they're like, okay, Mom, sure. So, like, in the last, maybe a month ago, I had my daughter sit down with this piece of paper and a pen, and I said, okay, I need some feedback here. Tell me everything that you can remember that I've ever told you about dating, boys, relationships, blah, 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 blah. Seriously, she wrote two things on that sheet of paper, and the top of her list, she wrote, you don't know what you're doing. And the moment, it was a teachable moment, and it wasn't time to address this. I didn't even really think about what she said. We just moved on to the next list. We had a list of lots of things. And so then later that day, when I went into my room to pray for my kids, I thought about her words, and I laughed for like 2 minutes, because it is so true. I don't know what I'm doing. I say that to my kids all the time. I have no clue what I'm doing, but you know what? I think I know a little bit more than you, so let's do this together. And they're gracious and kind, and they let me come alongside of them. And so, yes, as mothers, we often feel like we don't know what we're doing. We get that little baby home from the hospital. They give us, we put our little baby in the buggy, and they say, see you later. And you go, like, isn't one of you professionals coming with me? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. You're like, going to let me take this baby home by myself? Yeah. You know what? As mothers, we often feel helpless. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. But thank God we have Jesus. You know what? I don't have to rely on the world's unreliable and ever-changing methods for raising my kids. I can go straight to the source, because he is the one who made them. He's the one who knows them better than I ever could. The Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. So I'm often in his face asking, God, I don't know what I'm doing. You know what? I can have him. He comes alongside me as I come alongside my kids. So today I just want to share some areas of strength where we as mothers, we need to be strong in a few areas. If we want to be a good mother and leave a lasting legacy, there's some areas where we need to be strong. The first area I would say is we need to be spiritually strong. You know, the best thing that we can give our kids is Jesus. That's the best thing we can give them. But if you don't have Jesus, you can't give Jesus to your kids. I hear people say, like, I want my kids to be on fire for Christ. Are you? Are you on fire? I want my kids to, like, know the word and stand on the word. And it's like the first thing they go to is the word. Is it yours? Is that where you go first? You cannot give to your kids what you do not have. So in my own life, I mean, I was raised in a Christian home. My whole life I've been in the church. I've been active. I've been involved. And yet when my kids were really little, I found myself asking all the time, God, I know there's more. I know there's more to this Christian life. I want more. Always I said that to him. And always he said to me, read your Bible more, pray more, and get rid of the sin in your life. And okay, when I say get rid of the sin in your life, like, obviously, we will never be free from sin until we get to glory. He wasn't talking about, like, sin in general. But there's areas of sin where we get caught in over and over and over again. There's areas of sin where maybe we would like a little bit too much. He was talking about that. So he was saying, read your Bible more, pray more, and quit playing around with sin. And I'd say, read my Bible more. I read a chapter a day. That's enough. I don't want to read any more than that. Pray more. I don't even like praying. No, I'm not going to pray anymore. And quit playing with sin. No, I don't want to quit playing with sin. I'm having too much fun. So I would say no, no, and no. And so his answer always never varied. He said, then we're not going any further, Shannon. See, I wanted more of God, but I wanted it on my terms. I want more of you, but we're going to do it this way. And he said, no, if you really want more of me, you're going to do it on my terms, or we ain't going to do it at all. So I said, then I guess we're not doing it, because I wanted more of you, yes, Jesus, but I'm not willing to change any of my behaviors. So we didn't move any further. Now, the other day, I was reading this quote, and it so completely sums up what I wanted to say today, so I'm going to read it to you. Not often. Everybody say often. I didn't hear you. I said often. Not often, but every once in a while, God brings us to a major turning point. Say turning point. A great crossroads in our life. From that point, we either go toward a more and more slow, lazy, and useless Christian life. Everybody say useless. I didn't hear you. I said useless. okay, I need to hear from you people. I'm used to talking to kids. They give me feedback. Or we become more and more on fire. Everybody say fire. Mm-hmm. Giving our utmost for his highest, our best for his glory. You know what? I came to that place. You know, for years I said, God, I want more. And he says, sure, come on. Read more, pray more. Get rid of the sin. And I'd say, no, I don't want to do it your way. For years, I cried out for more. And finally, he brought me to a crossroads in my life, a huge crossroads. We all know when we get to those crossroads, they're like, bing, lights on, spotlight. Okay, we have a choice. We can go this way, the way we've always gone, or we can go a new way. We could go a different direction. We could get closer. We can get deeper. We can get more passionate. We can get more on fire. We can get more serious. And finally, I'm at this crossroads, and he says, what do you want to do, Shannon? We're here. What do you want to do? I'm like, man, I'm going for this. I've been wanting this for my whole life. And yet, I wasn't willing to change anything. So he brought me to that place where I could go either way. And I said, I'm going for it, man. I'm doing this. And so the first thing that we touched on was Bible. I started getting up at 6 a.m. to read my Bible and pray for an hour before my household woke up. I had a preacher friend in my life at this time who said, if you want to see revival in your life, then pray. Psalms 119 over your life every day. Do you guys know Psalms 119? Anybody know it? It is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. It's like 172 verses. It probably takes 10 to 15 minutes to read. And when you're declaring it out loud, it's like a 20-minute prayer. It gets intense. But he said, if you want revival in your life, then Psalms 119, do it. Because there's an anointing on that psalm for revival in your life and in your heart. So I started to do that every day. I'd get up and I would declare that Psalms 119 over my life. And I was getting up at 6 a.m. And I didn't have to set an alarm clock. I just woke up at 6 a.m. every morning. I would just wake up and we'd go and we'd spend that hour. And then pretty soon I started waking up at 5. And I never woke up at 5 in my entire life. And it just kept happening. Every morning I was waking up at 5. And I'd think, 5? Like, it's a whole hour early. Like, I've got another hour of sleep. So I would roll over and go back to sleep, but it happened over and over. And then I had to stop and examine my life and go, okay, I am praying. God, I want to hunger for more of your word. Lord, teach me how to pray. I want to know how to pray. I want to know how to get a hold of you. I was declaring Psalms 119 over my life on a daily basis that says it's going to bring revival. So I had to stop and go, are you waking me up at 5 a.m., God? So I thought, well, you know, maybe he is, because this is what I'm praying. This is what I want. Maybe he wants more of my time. So I said, if I start waking up at 5 again, I'm going to get up. So, of course, I did. I woke up at 5 a.m., and I started getting up 2 hours ahead of my household to spend that time in God's presence and in his word. And the funny thing about how he woke me up at 5, at 6, it wasn't like this, but at 5, when he woke me up at 5, it was like this hot flash that would course through my whole body from the top of my head to the tips of my toes until I'm like throwing the covers off and like, like, you're wide awake. You are wide awake when that happens. And so it was funny because it was always like 5 a.m. right on the dot, or like 4:59, or like 5:01. He was so punctual. He was so punctual. But then one morning, throwing the covers off, like, I'm on fire. I'm like wide awake. I look at the clock and it says 4:45. And I started to laugh, actually. I'm like, Jesus, you're a little early today. Like, I still got 15 minutes, you know? But I knew and I understood that he couldn't wait for 5 o'clock. He couldn't wait for me to come in and be with him. He's already so head over heels in love with me. So excited that 5 a.m. Oh, my goodness, I can't wait 15 more minutes. Come on, wake up, Shannon. Wake up! You know, as wives, when our husbands do that, we want to give him 5 in the eye. Like, hello? Come on, man. Like, let me sleep. But Jesus was like, I can't wait to be with you. Come, come, Shannon. So I'd get up at 4:45. Pretty soon it was like 4:30. And I'd wake up and I'd look at the clock and I would just smile because I knew, you are so head over heels in love with me. You just can't wait. You just can't wait, can you? He's like, I can't wait. Let's go. Let's do this. And so like this, it got earlier and earlier. It was 4:15. Then it was 4 a.m. Never once in that season did I ever wake up and roll my eyes or get mad or say, Jesus, are you serious? Like, I could get half an hour more of sleep here. Come on, what are you doing? No, I was so excited because you know what? He's already so in love with you, with me. He is already so eager for us to come into his presence. But are we? You know, he was stirring that in me. Now, I was becoming so passionately in love with him that I couldn't wait to get up in the morning to spend that time with him. So all of this is going on in my life. I'm excited about what's going on in me, what's going on with my Jesus. And I wanted it for my kids. So I took Psalm 119. I found the most easy version I could, Message Bible. And I printed it off, 172 verses. And I highlighted probably at least 100 of them. And I gave it to my daughters, who were 7 and 5. At 7, you're like grade 2 level reading. You're reading, but not really reading. And grade age 5, you can maybe read the and it is. Like, they couldn't even really read. And I hand them this Psalms 119. You're going to do this with me, girls. So every day, like 3, 4, 5 times a week, we would do this together. Kelly couldn't even read, but she could hear. She could remember. It didn't take long before they didn't need their sheets. They just had memorized. It's incredible, their capacity to retain, to remember. It was amazing. So we would do that on a daily basis. We would pray and declare Psalms 119 over our lives. And I have no doubt that the reason my daughters are so strong in their faith and so solid and passionate for Christ is because this was like their milk at age 5 and 7. It's amazing what God does. You know, he was building strength into me so that I could impart that to my children. You know, the verse that talks about this season of my life is in James chapter 4. This is the Message version, by the way. 7 to 10. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom. Cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. This was a season when I was getting serious. I was getting serious. I was crying my eyes out. I was letting him change me on the inside, because that is where we need to be strong as mothers. We need to be spiritually strong as mothers. Another area that we need to be strong is physically, you know, body, soul, spirit. We need to be strong in our bodies. We all know the verse, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We all know that. But as mothers, I mean, it's exhausting. These children, they demand your life, your everything, your all. You can't even go to the bathroom and they like follow you in there. It's exhausting. You need a lot of energy. You need a lot of stamina. You need to be taking care of your body so that you can take care of your kids. Eat right, drink right, get exercise, be active, get a plenty of sleep. You know, I spent a lot of time playing with my kids when they were little. We played all the time. We played and we played and we played. You know what? You need to play with your kids. You need to be physically healthy and strong so that you can play with your kids. That's amazing to be able to play with your kids. I'm not going to talk long about body because we hear about it all the time. I'm going to move right on to the next area, and that is we need to be strong in our soul. We need to be strong in our mind, will, and emotions. For me, this one was a really big area. You know, I think a lot of us don't realize how people impact our lives from wee little to present day. You know, our parents have impact, our grandparents have impact, our teachers, our siblings, friends at school, and even enemies at school, teachers, coaches, doctors, like the people that you encounter from wee little to big to present day, they have an impact on your life. Some of them have a good impact, some of them don't have a good impact, some of them leave scars and wounds and bruises and brokenness in your soul. And when that brokenness in your soul is never addressed or realized or healed, it can accumulate in your soul. And then you get to an age where it's going to turn one way or the other. It's either going to become rage in you or it's going to become depression in you. And for me, it was rage. I experienced a lot of rage in my life, and it started in my teenage years. And the only place that ever showed up, I lived on a farm and we had to feed cows every day. The only time I ever saw the rage, okay, I do have temper. I do have temper. Temper is different than rage. The only time I saw rage was when I had to feed the cows. It would, like, it was so violent, and the stuff that would, like, I was physically doing, and the stuff that was coming out of my mouth was so intense and so overpowering and overwhelming. I never understood. Like, here I'm this quiet, shy little Christian girl that never says boo and does everything my mama says. And I go out with these cows and it's like this raging lunatic. I didn't understand. Where is it coming from? I don't know how to handle it. I sure don't want anyone to know about it. You know, I didn't understand this rage. But once I got married and I moved into town and didn't have to feed cows anymore, I didn't experience the rage anymore. But then when I had babies, when they were little and they would cry for hours all night and I couldn't get them to shut up, you know what? It was any time that I was out of control, it would ignite rage in me. So when my kids were little, I had a lot of rage. I didn't physically abuse them, but I certainly wasn't gentle at moments. And the words that were coming out of my mouth certainly weren't good. And I was so condemned over this. Like, how can you be doing this? How can you be saying this? Like, what are you doing? You're a Christian. Like, what's the matter with you? I really had a lot of condemnation over this because I really did love my kids. And yet I was a raging lunatic and I didn't know. I didn't know where it was coming from. I didn't know what to do with it. But it was that accumulation in the soul. And I didn't know. I had no idea. So I remember this one day I was standing out on my back deck and I was asking questions. I don't think I spoke them out loud. I think they were just in my head. But I was taking the time to form them into questions, you know, my little list. And I don't think I was even asking God. I was just putting these questions into sentences, right? And like within 2 weeks, I had answers to all of my questions. And I never told anyone my questions. And so I had to stop and go, 2 weeks ago, I only had questions, and now I only have answers. Where did they come from? And I knew that God had been answering my questions, and I was blown away. I'm like, holy cow, I never knew that you heard me. I never knew that you wanted to answer my questions, and I never knew you could. I never knew you could answer my questions. Like, how did you even do that? How did you answer all my questions? I don't know how you did that. But I have answers now where I only had questions 2 weeks ago. And so I began to know and understand God as my wonderful counselor. The Bible says that he is our counselor. And he began to counsel me and answer my questions. And as I read this word, like for 3 hours, like honestly, it didn't happen every day that I woke up at 4 a.m. Seriously, I did not use an alarm clock. So if he woke me up at 6, we spent an hour. If he woke me up at 5, we spent 2 hours. If he woke me up at 4, we spent 3 hours. I let him set the pace. But in this season, when I'm getting closer to him, the closer that you get to him, the more aware you are of the sin in your life. So he began to touch all these areas and he began to, let's clean this one up. Let's deal with this. Let's clean that. He was doing some major house cleaning in me. And yet, even in all of that, there was still so many questions and so much confusion and chaos in my head and things that I just couldn't get past no matter how hard I tried. And there came a season in my life where I had to go to counseling. That was really hard for me. That was a really bitter pill to swallow because I thought only crazy people go to counselors. Only crazy people, really messed up people go to counselors. But okay, I was willing to admit, okay, I'm really must be a mess then because I need this. Like, I can't get past some of these things. So I did. I spent probably 6 weeks where I went to counseling every week. And I felt like I was bringing like a 1,000-piece puzzle and dumping it on his table and going, you figure it out. Like, all I got is mess. Pieces here, there, and everywhere, but I don't know. I just don't know. I know what's going on. But he, who's trained in counseling, he could look at all those pieces and he could put them into place, proper place. And he just began to build this picture, this whole picture. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I really wasn't ever willing to admit that your past, the things that happened when you're little, had effect. I was never willing to admit that. I was never willing to go there. Yeah, whatever. That's a bunch of mumbo jumbo, okay? I am who I am, and my past doesn't matter. But I understood. Yes, it does. It touched you. It impacted you, and it's hindering you. I didn't know that until I went to counseling. And he began to straighten things out. He began to walk me through those hurtful things and through this process of healing. And once God touched those areas, once I understood them, once I saw them, once I walked through them again and Jesus did his healing work in me, I no longer have the rage. Not even a little bit. It's just gone. He took it away because there was answers, because there was healing, because there was freedom. I still struggle with temper. Yeah, I'm fiery. I got red hair here. I do have a short fuse. My husband hates it. He's like, you need to work on that. I know I need to work on that. But thank God I don't have the rage anymore. I don't have the rage anymore. In Matthew 5, verse 8, it says, you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. God was putting things right in my heart and in my mind. You know what? Our kids need us to be emotionally strong. They need us to be strong in our minds. Because so often, as parents, we're physically there with our kids, but our minds are a zillion miles away. They need us to be strong in our minds. They need us to be strong in our soul so that we can be present in the moment with them. Now, the one thing that this counselor challenged me on was, Shannon, do your kids love you? No. Do they obey you because they love you or because they fear you? And I thought that was an odd statement. I'm like, I'm the mom. You're the kid. I say, pick up your socks. You better be moving right now to pick up your socks or I'm going to spank you. Like, hello, I am the mama. You listen. He's like, okay, so they obey you because they fear you. I'm like, what? I mean, this is the way I was raised. This is the way I raised my kids. Like, what's wrong with it? What are you talking about? I really didn't know what he was talking about. Had no clue. I am the mama. You listen. End of story, right? He's like, no, there's more. There's so much more, Shannon. He said, wouldn't you rather if they obeyed you because they loved you? I'm like, they love me, okay? They love me. He's like, you're just not getting this. No, I'm not getting this. He's like, I got an experiment for you. Okay, when you put your kids to bed at night, Do you put them to bed at night? I'm like, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes? Like, do it every night. Like, yeah, okay. Do you talk to them? No, I don't talk to my kids, ever. Like, I play with them all the time. We have lots of laughs, but I don't talk to anyone. It's true. I was not a talker. I was Miss Silence. The only thing you'll ever get to me is a yes or a no. Conversation over. I don't talk. I don't talk to my kids. And he says, you really don't talk to them? I'm like, no. He's like, oh, you are missing so much. He said, okay, when you put them to bed at night, I want you to ask or tell them, say, this is your sentence. When I was a little girl. Then you fill in the blanks. It could be a 30-second story. It could be a 3-minute, a 2-minute, a 5-minute. You start talking to your children. And I tell you the truth, I did that with fear and trembling. My kids were like 3, 5, 12, 10. Like, seriously, is it scary to talk to kids? For me, it was terrifying because I didn't do it. I never let them in my world, and I certainly wasn't trying to get in their world. But I did it. Every night, I would lay down with them kids, and I would say, like, of course, at different times, Jordan in her bedroom, Kelly in her bedroom, you know. So I got all these stories that are coming up. When I was a little, and I said to him, I don't even have any stories. He's like, you do. Once you start, they'll just start coming. Okay. So every day I'd be thinking, like, all day, what am I going to say tonight? What am I going to tell them tonight? But I began to talk to my kids and tell them my stories. And I tell you the truth, that totally changed me because I never knew how to communicate. No one ever taught me that. I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to communicate. I didn't know how to connect with people. And so I began to share my stories. And it totally changed me. 100% it changed me. But it changed them too. And it changed our relationship. It changed the dynamics of our home as I was real and open and vulnerable with them and let them into my world. Then they would let me into the into theirs. And you know, as parents, as mothers, we're going to face so many things with our kids. Hard things, embarrassing things, awkward things, things that make you angry. We're going to face so many things. But if you have relationship with your kids and you have communication with them, you can get through anything. Anything, if you know how to talk. That's one thing I never knew how to do. And this counselor, he taught me how to talk. And I'm so thankful for that gift, you know. My kids, I'm a pretty busy girl. Like, I go, 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 never sit still, always moving. If I sit, it's for like seconds and I'm up again. I don't sit still very much. So in the moments when I do sit still and I sit on a big comfy chair or on the couch or I'm laying on my bed, within minutes, all four of them will come. They'll find me. They'll sit behind me on the back of my chair. They'll sit on the armrest. They'll sit on my lap. They'll sit at my feet. Always, when I stop long enough, they come. They flock around me. They just want to be around me. Why? Because I love them and they love me. Because I let them into my world and they let me into theirs. We have relationship there. And that's we can get through anything if you know how to talk, if you know how to communicate. So we need to be strong emotionally. We need to be strong in our minds, mamas. Because your kids need all of you, not just your body, but they need you to be spiritually strong. They need you to be strong in your mind. You know, some things you maybe never have to deal with that are happening in the past. I mean, if God's stirring it up, deal with it. Don't go looking for it. For me, it just kept stirring up and up and up and up. It was like, okay, I got to do something with this because it's killing me. But don't go looking for it. I mean, if it's there and God wants to deal with it, he'll bring it to the surface. And another area that we need to be strong is we need to be strong in our marriages. Satan wants to destroy husbands and wives. He wants to split families apart. Why does he want to destroy family? Because Satan's after your kids. He's after the next generation. He wants access to them. And you know, the verse that I always stand on, I stand on it all the time. I remind God of this all the time. It's on my phone. It's in Malachi 2:15. You were united to your wife by the Lord in God's wise plan. When you married, the two of you became one person in his sight. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. Therefore, guard your passions. Keep faith with the wife of your youth. I stand on that all the time. God, you promised me godly children. You promised me godly children. I declare that my children are godly. You know what? My husband and I celebrated our 21st anniversary just the other day on Friday. Woo! 21 years. And we've gone through a lot of hard stuff. We've gone through hell and high water. You know what? Marriage is tough. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do is be married. And you know, when we got married, we made a vow, till death do us part. And I know that I know that I know that when Della said those words to me, he said, divorce is not an option, Shannon. Like, I'm in this till death. And I know my heart. It was till death. This is till death. And there's no divorce. We shut all the doors. We shut all the windows. There's no escape route. There's no back route plan out the back door. Like, there's no way out except death. And so in those hard times when you want to just quit and give up and whatever, no. I said, until death do I part. And so I fight for our marriage, and he fights for our marriage. And we fight through a lot of stuff. We try not to fight each other, but that happens sometimes. But you know, there's many times when I get on my face before the Father in my prayer closet, and I pray for my husband because he needs me to. But equally, ladies, equally, I'm getting in that prayer closet and I'm getting on my face and I'm praying for me because I'm the one with the problem. I'm the one with the attitude or the whatever. I need to change me. So we need, as women, we need to be able to look in the mirror and go, okay, you know, you can't just lay all the blame here. He's got some of it, yeah, but so do you. We need to be able to look in the mirror and go, whoa, God, what do you want to change in me? So we need to fight for our marriage. We need to fight for our husbands. We need to fight for ourselves when we're in the wrong. We need to fight because God wants you to stay strong. Why? What does he want? He wants godly children. So I stand on that promise all the time. God, I'm fighting for my marriage again because you said that if I stay committed and he stays committed, you promised godly children. So guys, be strong in your bodies, be strong in your spirits, be strong in your souls, be strong in your marriage, because your kids need you. And that's all I got.
She probably said twice what I would say in that time frame. Isn't that right?
That'd be
wrong. Wow. So listen again online this week. that was a lot of words. That was awesome. Isn't it true? What's that? She can talk fast. And if you look at her when she texts, she does it one-fingered, and it's faster than I think I can type on a computer. So it's interesting. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Isn't it true, moms and dads and everyone? We will only get what we're already operating in. Like they say, well, you have the pastor that you pray for. So if there's things you don't like about me, well, pray. Right? We have the leadership we pray for. We have the children that we've raised, we've encouraged, right? And if we want our church to be on fire, we want our church to grow, then it ends up aiming right back at us, doesn't it? And that's a good thing, and it's a hard thing, isn't it? You know, I appreciate Shannon, her transparency there in some areas. Because guess what? In our day and age, there isn't a lot of that. Or there's too much of it when it comes to wickedness. Oh, yeah, I do this, and I do that, and I do that, and ooh, wow, thanks, don't share anymore. But in the church, we like not being transparent. How do you like me now? Amen. It's high time that we are, because we are hiding. If we're not transparent, we're hiding the greatest gift anyone could receive. Amen. People want to know that you're not perfect, but you're relying on a perfect God. Amen. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. Amen. And that's possible for each and every one of us. As we're together in this. Remember, there isn't one in this church that you're alone. You got to remember that. Because if we realize that, then we can be transparent, because we're out for everyone's benefit, not judgment. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this encouragement today. Thank you for the challenge to be on fire. Thank you, God, for the challenge that if we want us to grow, we've got to grow. If we want us to be on fire, if we want our city to be changed and transformed by your power, we've got to first seek it with all of our might and all of our desire. That, God, you answer those prayers. That when we ask for wisdom, you give liberally. When we ask for more of your Holy Spirit, you said that you, being a good father, will pour out that much more of your Holy Spirit to those who ask. So God, today we're asking for greater. For moms, we just speak your blessing over them for greater. That, Father, that there isn't condemnation yet conviction on just that avenue of digging deeper with you, spiritually and physically, emotionally and mentally. So, Father, today we thank you for that encouragement. Thank you for the closeness of your presence here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.